our Father, we come to you again. Thank thee for the gracious, blessed songs been sung here this morning to set the table for us, that the word of God, the course meal, may be received. And we pray now as we come to this part, we open this precious book again, Lord, and we thank you so much for what you've done in preserving it for our day, that when we open it, we hear and see the very words of God that it have us to see and hear. And I pray today, as the study has been many hours this week, that this will be something in turn to close up the series of studies that we talked about for God's love for us. And I pray today that something will be done to help us see now in Jesus Christ, we're on the resurrected side of the Christian life. We have the power that we can live for you. And yet at the same time, Satan knows that. He knows that he does a lot to try to stop us, misunderstand things. And dear Lord, we pray you'd help us today to be fed with the word of God through the spiritual man. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you very much. Take your Bible first and turn to Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses to kind of give the the timing of this message. Like I said, we've been preaching the last few weeks on God's love for us, different stages, asking God to let us look from his dimension, from as we look through faith here towards his dimension, from his dimension through the word back to where we're at, to understand some things about our life. And so this morning I want you to look at, because I mentioned last week as we finished that subject, the subject today would kind of come back and show us some things about the resurrected side that God says we have because we have Jesus Christ who is resurrected. And he tells us some things that adjust our lives, and he tells us we don't have to do it alone. I'm so glad. I know I can't save myself. I'm glad I understand that Jesus Christ's blood could wash me and be saved. I'm glad I know I'm saved by God's grace. I'm glad I know that I'm a child of God, and I cry out, oh, you know, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon me, because I have the privilege to be called a child of God, and you can too if you've been saved. But you know what I found out? Even though there's a lot of things in God's word tells me how this Christian life should be, sometimes it gets confused in the flesh. And that's where we come. Most people you see who are born again will tell you how they're saved. They explain that. They can tell you a lot of things about, you know, the day they got saved and trust the Lord and washed in the blood and believe that Christ is the Lamb of God and also Savior of the world. But when they get saved, they'll have 1,000 ideas how you're supposed to live. And they all say they believe the Bible. And you know good and well, ladies and gentlemen, all of them can't be right. We can all be wrong, but all can't be right. So this is where we're at the last phase of this to see. Now, God's going to show us in the book of Romans what we have and how we can serve God because the old man's dead, and he wants us to put it off. Don't carry it around. I mean, can you imagine this morning I come up here and preach a message and talk about the old man, old person who died, and I got him on my back, a physical person. So someone physically died, I got him on my back carrying around trying to do what I'm doing. Well, that's what God says we do if we don't understand the old man that we have now has got to be put off. Amen. And the new man must be put on. And that's what he tells us how to do that. So look down, if you will, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. Watch this. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God. What is that? Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We know we're saved by God's grace because we don't deserve it. Some merit favor. And yet, it's not our performance. It's the fact that we believe in the performance of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But afterwards, watch. He says this, in other words, he's setting forth, man cannot save himself, so he must be exposed to the light. What is the light? The gospel light. The good news of that's given to us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But watch verse 12. Not only this grace has appeared to all men to bring appeared to all men, but this same grace, verse 12, he's carried over. This same grace, or at least God's grace, is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, that's just being self-control, always alert, righteously, that's something that God helps us through being born again, and godly, and that's certainly, you can't do that without the Lord Jesus Christ helping us out with God's word. And he said, in this present world, or this age we're living in, isn't it amazing? He said, if we're going to live out this life now, these are the characteristics of it. When you look at this, oh, I might as well give it up. I don't know if I can do all of these. And one thing is for sure, God is, I'm glad he didn't say, now, in this, here's how it is, and you got to live it, I'll come back check on you every 3 months. I'm glad he don't do that. I'm glad for me every day. And I'm glad he can tell me and teach me and help me and give me power, he says I can have, greater is he in me than in the world, that these things will begin to be part of my life. Why? Because we find also that God said that work we worked out, what we saw God's love for us, that others can see it. people look at your works more so than your mouth. But if your works back your speech, and your speech back your works, you pretty well can understand who a person is. Especially when you're talking about being saved. And so here he's setting forth that teaching that this is what this does. Now look, what's the result of that? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? He's talking about Jesus Christ being our great God. And he is God incarnated in the flesh. Then notice he said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. Notice again, from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's a special type person. We know that's the born again child of God in other scriptures. And he says, zealous of good works. The word zealous means devoted to a purpose now. That means that they're zealous to the works that God has foreordained in Ephesians chapter 2, that were works that God, that we're enthused about doing, that we're devoted purpose, a plan, with God's help through us to be active for him in this life. Then he says in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, that's something certainly for our day, because I'll tell you, there's a great despising of those who stand upon biblical principles and know Jesus Christ as Savior in our nation, not just the world. We see that right now on the table. Every time you turn around, you hear things news-wise, paper-wise, television, whatever it may be. Now turn, if we will, back to Romans chapter 5, and let's read a few verses, kind of hit the launching board here. Romans chapter 5, down in verse 8. It'll fall in parallel, and you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. In verse 8, it said, but God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then much more, if Christ was willing to do that, then there's more to it. Notice, then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by his blood, that has been declared right because the blood was accepted by God as a sacrifice for sin. And we have been declared right in Jesus Christ through that precious blood. And I like that he said, we shall be saved, speaking of the future, from wrath through him. That is, many things may happen to us in this life, and yet at the same time, God's going to deliver it from them. And one thing is for sure, we don't have to worry about hell, because he's also delivered that and told us that now hell's in the future for some, but not those who've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Before he was ever saved, as enemies of God, even though some people say, I've never been an enemy of God, God says, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're an enemy. Because that's the only way you can get saved to start with. That's the only way you can know who God is to start with, the true and living God, without us making one up in our own mind. And so it said, if when we were enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That is, we were changed thoroughly from something to something. And that has to do with the body of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the next phrase? Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by, what's his life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an important portion of Scripture. Not only been reconciled, changed from something, but we have been saved now by his life. Now, if Jesus is still dead somewhere in the grave, he couldn't do that. But since he's letting us know that he's resurrected from the grave, he's raised from that, he's busy now in the office, you may say, of God in heaven, the throne, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding for us. And what happens is he's saying that he's reconciled, he's changed us thoroughly by, his life, and he's talking about now. So it's got to be that God has given us something. That helps us understand, I think, as God talked about the Holy Spirit was in a few minutes, been given. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 3, and then we'll get right into the message. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 4. Paul said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Amen. What's he saying? He said, if you're saved, and the example of that, been baptized, immersion of water, and come forth, you showed an example of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But he said, if you're saved, you already have that new life that's risen with Christ. Hey, that's what the new birth is. There's no need for the new birth. You're going to have the old thing we got here, just this and only. I mean, what's got to change? What can change this? You and I can't change this. We can do a few moderations of things, but what God is asking is beyond our effort to do that. So he's telling us now we have the very life of God. Peter calls it's God's life himself. And then he says, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, if I notice that, if I seek those things which are above, he's talking about that's when God says, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't let these things around us get take our attention off of what God wants us to be and be and do in this life. And he says, Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And that goes in line, Paul's simply saying what Jesus said in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. And then he said, why are we going to do this? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, if I'm dead, high in the world, I'm going, how can I bring any actions out there? I think about physical dead. I never seen a physical dead person do anything. In fact, you had to do everything for them. Even put them back to the dust they came from, as far as the body is concerned. So he's telling us when inside information spiritually illuminated to our heart and mind, revealing to us there is a physical life, there is a spiritual life, and there's things he can come for us to really see so we can identify with something, is take physical life and tell us how it goes, and then say there's an element there you can see beyond this life into the spiritual world to know. Not only if you die physically, when the spirit and body leaves this body, when the spirit and soul leaves this body, body goes back to the dust, there is a spiritual life also you have now before you leave this body, if you're born again. Amen. Okay? Now, like this. And he said, watch this. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Watch verse 4. When Christ, who is our life? Amen? Amen? Now, he's laid it out here. He's trying to give some lead up to it, trying steps to see it. But he's laid out now, Christ, who is our life, he said, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That Christ is going to appear one day in the future. We're looking for him, but right now he is our life. So we are looking at, I have something in me that simply don't go right with those who say they're saved and live in sin and wander in sin, because they do, it's proven to them they don't know what this life is. Now, turn with you to Romans chapter 6, and you'll see why Paul has so much to say along this line when it comes to the Spirit of God delivering us in this particular life. In other words, in Titus, we see that grace saves us and grace teaches us. We see in Romans chapter 5, a few verses, that being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, and that means resurrected life. So what God has sent, Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead, has brought you anew. You have died when you trusted him. God saw you, we looked at that on the cross, saw you going with Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the only thing we come to that is baptism, to be buried with him, to rise again with him, and to walk in a newness of life. The world sees that as a kind of a demonstration of what has happened to us. And then, of course, we see in Colossians 3, Christ who is our life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Paul defines his doctrine of justification in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. And when he does, it's so much beyond what these Pharisees and others in that day had seen. They just could not get it. They had to have the Holy Spirit before they fully understand it. And major thing about it is, you and I who have been saved have the Holy Spirit, and most of us don't understand like we should. You know why? I don't think we spend enough time with God in the Bible to find out really what he wants. No. We're tagging on to something we've heard in our life and has been that way all our life, and that means more to a person than really finding really what God wants you to do now for him and for his glory. And it's sad, but that's the way we are as human beings. So here he's talking about justification. Now, go back up in chapter 5, which we looked at a few weeks ago, and a little bit last week. The last verse, he said, moreover, the law entered that the fence may abound, for sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And we saw in verse 13, also verse chapter 7, verse 8, he even explained it to us. He said, verse 8, but sin takes occasion, this is in chapter 7 of Romans, right over a chapter. He said, but sin takes occasion by the commandment, that is, it's a base to operate on, takes a case to fill a base to operate on. It wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. That means the lust, sexual desire, all kinds of lust. He said, for without the law, sin was made dead. And we looked at that. I can't get into that now. In other words, sin was made active until God gave the law so they know what sin is. We do some examples around here about stop signs and things. But now when you get to chapter 6, verse 1, here's what I want you to notice. Paul anticipated three objections, if not more, that was going to come because of the doctrine. And when you see this, I've had these same objections said to me hundreds of times since I've been saved 55 years. And you have too if you try to witness someone. Watch what he says, the very first thing in chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? What has he been talking about? Go back chapter 5 and look at what he talked about Adam the first and Eve, Adam and Eve sin, and then Adam and Christ, how that we died in Adam and made alive in Christ. That whole chapter he's been talking about justification. So he declared right with God, what you couldn't do on your own, but God did it for us. And now he comes down, he said, then because he anticipated, maybe somebody asked him, I don't know, but it sounded like he anticipated a question. And he said, when he got through, you can't, he'd gone through this thing, you can't work it out, there's nothing you can do to get it, you can't perform for it, Jesus died for you, he sets the offer on the table, God accepted the sacrifice, God accepted his blood, now will you receive him as your Savior, like John chapter 1 verse 12 says. If you do, you'll be saved. Amen. Now he said, but wait a minute, notice he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul knew what was going on. Some of those Pharisees and Sadducees walking around with their clothes on made them righteous. They didn't make them righteous. And he said, now what did you say to that? Just because God has said when sin abound, that means when sin increase, God has said my grace will more increase. Well, isn't that wonderful? An unsaved person look at it like this. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. God has said the more I sin, the more his grace will show, and I'm helping God show grace. Isn't that wonderful? More I sin, more he takes God's grace. He said, wait with that thought. That's foolishness. But by the way, there's many folks who have said that. If I believe what you believe, I live like I want to. Same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. This book is precious. You hide it in your heart. Then he goes on and said, know you not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized to his death? Don't you know this? Then he goes on and said, therefore we are buried with him in baptism to death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together, and he goes again, he gives an example of the fact this is what happened to Christ when we trusted Christ. God placed us into the body of Christ. Therefore, God sees us in him. And here's the thing, we come to what Christ is, just water baptism, which is an ordinance that God gave to us as the first step to do something for the Lord. So when we go through the waters of baptism, that's obeying God, the first thing he tells us to do. And in turn, it demonstrates what we believe Christ did for us at that time. For if we've been planted together in likeness of his death, notice it's always likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Isn't that amazing? Since now I've been planted with in death, in the likeness of death through the waters of baptism, and spiritually now I've been placed in the body of Christ, then I'm to walk, as he says in the next phrase here, he said, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now Jesus Christ is just as pure before he rose from the dead, he was after he rose from the dead. But he's saying to us that if we died with him in Christ, now we should walk the life of Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know as good as I do, none of us will be perfect in this flesh since we've been saved. But he's given us a challenge to show that the life will change because he's reconciled us. He's changed us thoroughly. He gives us the potential to even to learn. You got to have food for this body if this body's going to grow at all. If not, it'll die. You got to have food for the spiritual body or the spiritual person too. Or it will never die if it's truly saved because we have the righteousness of God that makes us kind of to heaven. But it will show up in us, showing others that God's worth to live for. And he wants to make us understand what the Christian life is about. So Paul anticipated these three objects. These people were saying, if God's grace abound when we sin, let's continue sinning so we might experience more grace for God. That's what he's talking about in the first 14 verses. Then the other group said, if we are so no longer under law, we are free to live as we please. That's not what this Bible says. Amen. Well, you said that you're saved for the glory of God, and you know you're looking forward to Jesus come back, or you're saved forever. Listen, I understand that being saved gets me the right because it's God's righteousness that's established in heaven. God didn't accept my blood on the throne there. God set Christ's blood on the throne there. Amen. And it's the blood that washes us from sin and makes us children of God. Now, I'm working a message on that right now in depth. Why did God use blood? That's the question I've asked myself for weeks now. But what I'm saying to you, that here he's laying out a tremendous thing. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. The reason you can walk in the newness of this likeness of his resurrection, which is the newness of the resurrected side, he says the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Notice, might be. He didn't say it was right now, but it might be. Why? That new creation inside with the Word of God hidden in your heart, wanting to please God more than man or mamma, will all find it changing you as you walk. Because what he says here, that the knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that you might not henceforth serve sin. Notice the word serve. That's the meaning of that. That's a way of life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the third thing he said, they said, you make me God's law sinful to us. If you say we're justified by God's grace, and justified by saved by God's grace, justified by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, and there's no other way, then you just, these Sadducees and religious people said, you just made God's law sin. And he said, no, all of this, God forbid. This is not what goes on at all. It's helping us see what this new life is. Such objections prove that the readers did not understand law or grace. If you ever seen Lester Roloff, Dr. Law and Dr. Grace, you only get to read it. It's a beautiful exposition of what law and grace is and where they work and how they work in our lives. They had legalism on one hand, and they had license to sin on the other hand, and it brought all times of chaos. As a matter of fact, you look in chapter 5 and verse 10, he talks about, again, that if we were enemies, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more been reconciled, we shall live by his life. What is his life? This life that he says we have now, living in us, and it's done by the Spirit of God. And it's an amazing thing, because also in John chapter 14, turn there with me if you will, please. Don't you see this? And you'll see what Paul is saying in a different way, what Jesus said before he died. Chapter 14, verse 16. Notice these words. These things are so precious, I can't even get through my outline. Notice in verse 16. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, comforter is paraclete. It means simply one to come alongside. It's an advocate for us. Christ is the believer's paraclete and with the Father about our sins. It's because we know he's there to help us. He's there to stand for us because he is the one who takes our case. Notice the verse 17. He talked about that comfort. You're going to see in verse 26 toward the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, he names here, whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of truth the world cannot receive. Just say, I want to have the Spirit come in. You know why? Jesus Christ is the door. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen? And so by that, then you've got to come through the door. You've got to come the way of truth. And he teaches us that no man can come to him without the Spirit of God. Notice he said, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, he gives a reason why, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Isn't that an amazing thing? He says, you know him. Amen. Whatever then, those who don't see what God says to do don't know him. God says you know him. You know him. It's precious, folks. Why? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look at it. Let it dwell. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet in a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall all live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that we know he's talking toward the end of the age, but to know this now, we get glorified body, we're going to really know. But he's there now. He's letting us know now that he lives in us. And then watch verse 20. He said, and that day, at that day, you shall know that I and my Father and in verse 21. Now watch. He that hath my commandments keep and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. Now somebody said, that's just talking about the end of age. Wait a minute. Hey, when we get a glorified body in heaven, you're not going to worry about keeping the commandments. He's talking about doing that. What's the sign of a person being saved? Obeying God. Just obeying God. And so he said here, he puts it out, to them, they knew what the commandments were. He that had my commandments and keepeth them, not just know them, not just memorize them, not just have mental asset to them, but walk with keeping them, he says. And he said, he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So here you got people have legalism on one side, you know, and then you got the other side, which has to do with the license to sin. Both of them are too extreme either way. God does not give us a license to sin because we're saved. And we're not to walk by legalistic terms either, by the way, because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But we are to walk with Jesus. Why? Because he said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit to live within you. And over again, we see the Bible says we have received, or he has given us the Holy Spirit. And I had 3 points of this. Number one, the first point, simple this. Paul repeats the word know in this chapter for us to understand a basic doctrine he's talking about. The first, when you go back to Romans chapter 6, the basic doctrine he's talking about, we were identified, the verses back in chapter 5, we were identified with Adam's sin and condemnation. When he talked about the sin of Adam, or the sins which are the works of the nature of the sin, he's talking about being condemned, because God has put a curse on the law, which shows us sin, transgression, disobedience, and in turn, it's going to be the person who follows that is going to be destroyed one day. But he also now, through justification, has come back, and person has been saved. Now we identify with Christ in righteousness, because without his righteousness, according to Matthew 5, no one will receive enter into the kingdom of God. And so I see God is doing something here. So Paul moves from the action to the principle of sin. The nature is always the sin nature, which most times is singular. But when you see S put on it, that is the practice of the nature, which is sins. Sin nature is the nature of Adam, because he fell. The product of the sin natures is sins in the plural. And when that happens, then they're the ones that we just can't say, well, I can't help it because I got out of nature. Oh, yes, we can, because God's got a remedy for it. No, we can't do anything about ourselves, but God's got a remedy. We just throw ourselves on the mercy of his court, and then we ask him to help us as he promised to come in and live for us and with through us. So Paul moves from the action to the principle of sin, and then he moves down here and shows this is how this works in your life, and this is how God works in. Sin works this way, and this is how God works in your way. And you see, God will supersede the sin if you follow the direction that he said do. Now, Paul, when he does this, he moves from the fruit, which is the sins in the plural, to the root, which is the nature. Without the nature, you don't have the fruit, just like plant the tree. So God is using that so we can understand that when we got saved, when the seed of God was spread, and there was spiritual conception, and a good ground that received Christ as their Savior, and then after the period of development in life, forever how long that we are in this life, I call it the womb of the world, till God delivers us out of this life, we're growing in grace and knowledge. You've heard me say that many times. So here I look at God's justification brings God's life in a new loving relationship with him because it's through Jesus Christ. That's the reason I hear some people say sometimes that living in sin, well, you know, I believe God forgive me, but I just don't really bother me. You know the reason why? Your heart and mind's come seared. Amen. A man who will say that God doesn't bother him, says he's saved, don't know he's saved, Satan got that person deceived. You know what you mean to tell me the Holy Spirit that God said he promised us who's equal with God? You mean that when he come in, you and I got saved, that we can go do anything we want to do when God's cried out against it and God, the Holy Spirit's not moved? If no other way, he can't get us to know he's there. He'll make us feel bad sometimes to get us to know he's there. Oh, yeah. What is that? That's conviction. That's the love of God showing us some things in this life. After being born again, baptism was the outward sign of being dead to sin. Now, a physical dead person is dead to all physical senses. You believe that? If a person is pronounced physical dead, would it hurt to cut his head off? Would he even know it? I'm trying to get across a point. Would it hurt if you cut him on the arm? You think it hurt him to put that needle in to put embalming fluid in? No. Why? He's dead to all kinds of senses. Let me ask you something. Then is he not dead to drugs and alcohol? all the sins that God lists that he tells us to stay away from? Yes. You know, offer all the drink you want to. He's not going to accept it. And when Jesus said, when you look at that, and God has said, when you look at that, realize God has given you the capacity to be dead and free from sin. He gives this to us. And he opens our eyes to understand some things. Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. I don't understand. Well, look in verse 7 as well. He says this. Well, look in verse 8 and 6. First, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Why? For he that is dead is free from sin. You don't see it again? Look with me in verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Look in verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit into holiness and the end everlasting life. Free from sin? Say, preacher, hey, that's ridiculous. Sin's all around me. Wait a minute. He didn't say he made you free till you can sin. He said, I made you free from sin. You got a power, son. You don't have to do those things anymore. Amen. And you put on the new man long enough, and your life will change. For God has given us the thing of reconciliation to change us if he comes in. If Christ doesn't come into a person who's saved, there is no change in that person's life. Or if it is, it's fake for a few weeks, and then you go right back like it was before. Right. And then we find the Bible says when a person goes back, he's worse than he was before. In fact, he'll waddle in the mire of sin like a hog. You clean the hog up, and he might eat a little bit and be all right, but you turn your back and there's a mud hole somewhere, he's going to go to it. Isn't it amazing how God shows us simple things that are so complex when it comes from heaven and comes through the domain where he's at for us to see? And we always put, like Paul anticipated these things. But come on, I think about in verse 14, he talked about again, for sin shall now have dominion over you. He said, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And the reason he said that is because the curse of the law can't touch us. But then he said this, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law? That's the same thing he said in verse 1. Well, you say we're not under the law? Can we just go sin because we're not under the law and it's okay? No. God's grace don't give us that ability. Or that, maybe I say that permitting to do that. God says we're still responsible as children, and you'll have to work it. You have to let me work in you to work out if people are going to ever really see me in you. That's what it's about, is people seeing God in you. Even the worst circumstance or the best circumstance we have in life, they don't see much of God. But I'll tell you this, they'll see more of you in God if your life is right than it would if your life is not right. And you're going to find this out. Those who don't have him sooner or later go back. And there's things, and what will take place is they'll be worse than they were before. And most people say, boy, he sure turned out. That's when people look at people that used to have bad lives, and God really saves them and say, just give him a few months, he'll be back. But that don't work that way. If JB was here, you could ask him. He lived for God for years and gone home to be the Lord now. And they used to say that about him. Well, it won't last long because they knew who he was. Boy, were they wrong. Amen. What I'm saying. And now I see physical life then. So drugs and alcohol and using God's name in vain is something that the child of God will not do because we're dead to that life. When dead, who wants to go back to the tomb and dress in grave clothes again?
Not me.
And be foolish, wouldn't it? If you're saved, who wants to go back and dress in that? See, what he's comparing to, that a person is dead, you dress him up and put him in the grave. And who wants to go back to the grave of life and dress the old man up again? And bring him out to be seen, because God cannot be seen that way. He wants us to realize that the only way Miss Warren can see God in us is God working in us. And to do so is these things that's happening. See, in Romans chapter 6, verse 10, notice that he said, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. I like that. He said, that's right, the sin's there, but you died unto that. And what happens? It changes direction. Where we were under sin before, and we did the things maybe we might have lived better than some people did, but everybody is sinners called all of sin. But when they come to Christ, then that has been dealt with. And he said, he that liveth, it liveth unto God. That the fact that we have been born is the fact now, look at what was before and look at now. And we find before it's unto the flesh and selfish reason. Now it's unto God. You can bring him glory. And that's what he does. And so here he's given us some great definition. We do this in Jesus Christ. You can't do it without him. That's the reason why there's no one can be saved unless they know him. Now, I grant you, there's hundreds of thousands of people on this earth would tell us today, that puts you people just think you're so, boy, you just got it all, you know, you're just so, and they get out, they just call you everything because they feel like God is such a God, he understands we're all having a mess, and so no matter how we worship him, he's going to accept it. That's not what the God of this Bible says. You remember a few years ago, that guy out in California, he was a pastor of church, and he come on, he sat in a chair, he had his Beats clothes on, cigar in one mouth, and a drink in another, and a drink in his hand, on television, claimed to be a messenger of God. You don't remember seeing that? It made me mad. I believe Brother Todd shot my shotgun if I didn't turn it off. I mean, it really upset me to see this guy sitting there, and no telling how many thousands, and he'd take an offering and get 400 or 500 people, he'd get offerings in, just come in. But, ladies and gentlemen, he must not stay on there long, because I hadn't seen him now in years. But he may have died. He might have been like King Herod, hadn't he? He might have did gone too far. But what I'm saying to you, you had to look at that, and the Spirit in God in your heart cannot, would say, hey, this can't be of God, because he's doing everything that God said not to as a child of God. And so now, we don't want to go back and put those clothes on. The second thing I want you to notice, though, is the child of God should not serve sin. That's what we see, verse 12 down and 13. Look there with me, if you will. He said, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. Now, you know what he's talking about there. This is a mortal body. This is a fleshly body. Let not sin, which is a product of the sin nature, reign. What is reign? It's control. It's ruling. It's a lifestyle. It's the way we live as an individual every day of the year when it comes to the flesh. Then he noticed, he said, now, in let's go back up. Well, let's go back and read verse 10 and 11 first. He said, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead unto indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we come back to that word like when we can't get today, likewise, and talking about the word reckon, but we'll get it next week. But I want you to notice this. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You remember what James said about sin? Lust comes in turn, which gets our attention in James chapter 1. He tells us how it exactly works. He said, lust comes in. Well, let me turn over and just read it to you. That's the best way, I guess, and get it right. He said, yeah. He said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, or his lust. Man faces some things drawn away. Now, notice, tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, and enticed, notice, that means to be lured by bait somehow or another. That lust has been drawn away by enticing it. It gets, if you don't discard it, then the enticing gets a little bit, and after a while, you'll be looking at it and saying, you know, this is not really all that bad. A lot of other people do it, and we go ahead and do it. Watch. But then he said, when lust has conceived, that means it forms and develops. It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's where it is. And so what he's telling us here, let not sin reign in your body. Because if it's raining there and you're not conquering it, it didn't mean, hey, it does, hey, when you fall all of a sudden one day and blow it at a moment, he's not talking about that. Because if you do that, God's going to show you, and you're going to make it right. How? 1 John 1:9. The scriptures bear witness to our heart. The only thing about this, we're not hiding the word of scripture in our heart, and we're deciding sometimes what we want to decide, what would fit us best as human beings in this life. And then he goes on, he said, verse 13, neither yield ye your members and instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now that word yield is an important word too. We'll look at that next week. And he said, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. The fleshly body is in control by sin or God. Would you not say that? We are controlled in this body by sin, which Satan is trying to work through to tear us down, or God. When I came into this world, a little babe, 1959, September 27, 1959, I came into this world. I had only one I had anything important to identify then was sin, because that's all I knew. I had a little religious cloak, but religious cloaks don't do it. We, all of us had that religious cloak sometime or another. But there came a time that God brought an awakening, a quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. And now I'm saying, from that day forward, I find that if I yield to sin more than God, then more than likely I'm going to be involved with things, and God to say, hey, that son, that's wrong. Boy, why do I feel the way I do? And you confess it, and it's clean. And then suddenly, when you go through a few of those things, your life lines up. Don't tell me when your person say, well, I used to didn't feel bad about it. Now I do it now. I didn't think there's anything wrong, but I do it now. Holy Spirit's trying to get us to see there's something different now. We're children of God. But the world don't want to see that. You know what the world wants? The world wants to say, if there is a heaven, I want to know I'm going there, and I trust in His Savior. But Lord, don't bother me in my life down here. Amen? He's telling us, man's fallen nature is the beachhead from which he operates. If you look in chapter 7 of Romans and look down about verse 18, you know what Paul said there? He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, would not, would, the would that I, the, that I, that would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's simply saying, when you start growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, there is a judgment that trashed us along there. God has forgiven us, the slate's clean. We can think clearly, so clearly that when something is wrong, God will reveal it. God's greater is He that's in the world. Don't try to live the Christian life unless you're saved. You say, preach, why not? Because you'll find the Christian life won't be like you think it would be. Secondly, you don't merit anything by doing that. It may help you be a good neighbor, but it won't help you be accounted for heaven. That's right. It won't do that. And you know what? That's what the world don't want to hear. They don't hear it. And that's the reason you find people are less in a lot of so-called fundamental churches that used to be fundamental today are changing. We know the world has changed. But ladies and gentlemen, God so loved us, He gave His only begotten Son. Let me ask you a question, and I close. Do you think that Jesus Christ, when He came from heaven and came here, this earth, would ever do anything that displeased His Father? You say, but He's God. No, wait a minute. He's man while He's here. He's a perfect man while He's here. The Bible declares that in many places. Then I ask you a question. We who are saved, I ask you a question. Do you think that God would be pleased with us if we do against what He said Jesus was and did if we did not do those things? I don't think He would be. You know the reason why He'll be pleased with us? If we obey Him and how we obey Him, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, is letting us know the things that God said do not do, and let us realize there are some things maybe you don't have to do as far as some people go. But there are some things God said, when these come, it brings His wrath faster because of the abomination. Let's stand to our feet, please. I'll finish this next week. Father, thank You again, Lord. I believe any child of God who knows Jesus as Savior would want to know what You say about sin, what You say about life, what You say now that I've trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, when I listen to this world, and all that it has to say, and the many different things that people believe. And Lord, they're sincere in their heart. They truly are sincere. I know I was 3 years one time and thought I was okay in a church. But Father, please help us realize we have a book here that's powerful. Please keep us from looking at it in content and take it out of context. The Lord, help us be sure to rightly divide the word as You tell Timothy to do. And we spend the time with You to do that. Help us see, Lord, there's more to the Christian life than just getting saved and going to heaven. Father, help us see now in this hour how much You loved us. Help us see Calvary. Though Christ is not there, we know He was there one time. And help us look beyond this life by faith in dominion where You're at to know that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession. Lord, I know the day He's making, I know my life is feeble now that we've been. I know there's things in my life now that I, I, my thinking process and so forth, but he's still making intercessions for me. There's not a person in this building named the name of Christ that he's not making intercession for. Please help one see their need today. Please help the Word of God penetrate the heart. Please help us, Lord, in spite of all situations in life, to know and do the will of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.